This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
Welcome to New Every Day. I'm Lawrence Cruz, and this is not Jeff Weston. Jeff Weston is away on business, and here goes. We've got the new and improved
version. That's right, yeah.
Sorry about that, Jeff. Just couldn't help it.
It's what he wants to be. Really, what he wants when he grows up.
Okay, this is going to be a good show already. We can tell. This is my good friend Ken Gill, who hails all the way from
Calgary, Alberta, Canada, the finest city in Western Canada.
The finest city,
absolutely.
Says who?
Absolutely. Oil rich, cattle rich, gas rich. The home of the Calgary Stampede, the largest outdoor show on earth.
Oh, my goodness. Buy your tickets now for the low, low price. I hear the steak is good out there.
Oh, the beef, Alberta beef, AAA, yep. 28 days aged, melts in your mouth.
Yes,
people come from all over the world.
This man has the ability to whet my appetite in so many ways, and including steak. So we'll be right back while I go get one. No, hang on. Not quite now.
Speaking of steak, we're probably going to have a piece of beefsteak in this conversation today. I think we'll probably get a piece of what was that we had last night? That little round steak. What do they call that?
Filet mignon.
Bonjour.
Comment ça va?
We come from a bilingual nation, right? So he's trying his best in French, and I'll do my best in English.
How are you doing today? We are going to enjoy a very good show with my good friend, Jeff. Who are you again? Yeah. Okay, friends. Ken.
Yes.
You're from Calgary.
Yes, I am.
Tell me, are you married, sir?
Yeah, I've been married now for quite a few years. My wife's name is Cheryl. We have four children. And we have seven grandchildren, and so we're grateful to God, and we're coming up on our 45th wedding anniversary.
Woo.
I know, I don't look like that, because I think she was 12 when we got married, and I was 13, I'm not sure.
I'm waiting for the lightning bolt right now.
Yeah, so we live in Calgary, we've been married, and we've been walking together in Christian ministry for a long time, trying to help as many people as we can.
And doing a good job of it, I might say.
Well, hopefully that's what others think.
I am one of the benefactors. One of, definitely thousands. And perhaps even tens of thousands would say the same.
You never know.
I know that's not what you lay awake at night saying, well, how many people did I help today?
Yeah.
And yet I know it's in your heart to help many.
Absolutely.
And praise the Lord, you've done a great job of that. And so you've been married for, you have children?
Yes, I certainly do. I have four children, seven grandchildren. And they're beautiful. Our oldest grandchild now is coming up 12.
Yeah.
And he was just doing a rendition on the drums.
Oh, great.
And I got a grandson right under him. He was just doing a rendition this week on the piano. And my son is a musician, and he's been teaching them and training them along with my son-in-law. And we're just believing God for a whole crop of musicians and spiritual leaders to come out of them, whatever is going to happen.
Next
generation.
Man, all kinds of stuff. When you talk, it probes me with questions, and we can go on there. Friends, we are going to enjoy our time together. So I'm going to ask you this question. We kind of floated this out there. Ken, what should we talk about here today?
I don't know. I think comes to my heart is, a man of God said a number of years ago, if we'll expand the circle of our love, we will expand the circle of our influence. And I believe many of us want to be influential in what we do, but we forget that love comes first. And so we will broaden the circle of our capacity to love, where the scripture talks about loving God with all of our heart. We know that well. But Paul writes to the church and he says about comprehending the love of God that passes knowledge. And we know that in our culture, knowledge is probably the largest deity in North American culture. And if we can grasp the love of God that passes knowledge or surpasses knowledge, and we're to comprehend, Lawrence, the depth of his love, the height of his love, the breadth of his love, and the depth of his love. And I believe if we'll do that, something will happen in whatever we do in ministry. Because our culture is looking for biblical love that is the agape love that has the ability to translate culture, has the ability to open doors where we cannot open doors. And a number of years ago, the scripture that I learned and assigned it to my heart was, many waters cannot quench love. And I believe that our culture needs the influence of our love. And so for my life and ministry is, I want to learn how to love well. And I don't want my love to be cheap. And as a result of that, I believe it has the ability to make people attractive. And then if we'll love on that level, people will maybe hear what you're saying. And the circle of our influence will grow. And I think many times we're trying to influence culture when he says, why don't you just love? And the beauty, and as I perfect your love, it broadens the circle of your influence. And as a result of that, many years ago, I had this passion in my heart to disciple people and to spread the love of God around one by one by one by one, so that we could grow people that look just like Jesus.
Okay, fascinating. You say many years ago. I'm thinking about the love that you endeavor to live, that you believe is important, and you refer to many years ago wanting to disciple. So is this wanting to be a loving person something new, Ken? Or is this something, have you been musing about it? Or is it like, hey, hang on, tell me about this.
Well, wanting to help people, we want to help people, I want to help them grow. And I said, Lord, how do I do this? And he put in my heart the launching of a discipleship school.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's that look like? This is before a disciple. We're talking early 70s, okay?
Sure. So, and are you a Christian pastor at the time?
At that time, I was just crossing out of the world of the marketplace into ministry.
Okay.
And I was asking for direction. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to begin to pour your life into people.
Okay.
And so I said, well, how do you do that?
Right.
Because I didn't have a template that I could go by.
Well, and I relate to that too. You know, you open up the pages of the scripture as a pastor, you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do here?
Right.
And I think any student of the word, whether we're, full-time workers in the gospel or not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is going to land on the Bible says, go ahead and make disciples, whether we're in the marketplace or not. But then, okay.
So I realized something had to go beyond conversion.
Right.
So it doesn't say in the book, go make converts. But the first thing we do is we become converts to Christ. Mm-hmm. Then we become disciples of Christ, so that we become apostles for Christ. So what happens is, as he draws us into his kingdom, then he wants us to become like him. Then he wants to disseminate us into the world as sent ones, so that we can spread the love through the gift of influence that he's put in my heart. So I didn't know what to do. So I said, God, how do I start doing this? And I had a piece of paper, man, how do I go about doing this? And the first word that came into my heart, Lawrence, is that 1973 was the spirit of sonship. I've been in the church a lot of years, but I'd never heard that term. So I thought, well, it must be in the Bible because it's Holy Spirit speaking to me.
So you wrote down...
And I just wrote it down. I said, well, what else? And then he said, I want you to emphasize the spirit of servanthood. And I said, well, that's okay. I wrote that down. I was more familiar with that term.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, is there anything else? You know, of course, you got 3 points you got to have for a message, right? But it is one, I was looking for tracks to run on so that I could help people, right?
Yeah, well, of course.
And so in that process, I was waiting in the presence of God, and I wrote down the spirit of soldiery. First of all, I didn't know that soldiery was a word, but it's a pluralization of the word soldier. And it's the spirit of God working warlike characteristics on us because we are in a war.
Okay.
And the Bible says, of course, in Exodus that the Lord is a man of war. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, it comes from the nature of God. But the thing that intrigued me more than anything else was that I was to begin the discipleshiping and discipling people as sons and daughters of God. And I had no context for that. And so I started looking in the scripture for it. But really what really tweaked and piqued my interest is that servanthood wasn't first. And in most Christian circles, we talk about the suffering servant, and we deify servanthood. But I believe the first thing is that we're to become like him, and we're to become like the Son of God in his nature, and we demonstrate his nature. Then coming from my sonship flows the spirit of servanthood.
Okay.
And so that is opposite the way we were trained. We serve, and we try to outserve one another. And to me, the call was to call disciples of Christ to the place of sonship. And then I found it in Romans chapter 8.
This is in 1973.
73. I'm having this walk with God. I'm just learning to hear the voice of God and write it down. And then I go, okay, what's this about sonship? And I go to Romans 8, and he says, talks about whereby we call him Abba, Father. And he grants to us not the spirit of slavery, but the spirit of sonship. And I thought, praise God, it's in the Bible. I have something to go on. And so then that just launched me into a study of which, if we're making disciples, it's one thing. But really, the first thing we're doing is we're raising up sons to be like the Son of God that will reflect the nature of his Father to culture. Because he didn't come to speak of himself. He said, you've seen me, you've seen my dad.
And
you've seen my dad.
Oh, right? I love that about Christ. Always deferring to the Father.
So that meant for me, I had to learn to be a son in the kingdom. And that's protected me for 45 years of ministry from burnout. Because it's servanthood that burns us out. If it's not delicately understood that all of our serving comes from our sonship. And that is a reversal in church culture. We've got to outserve one another. No, we're to become like the Son of God. We're to demonstrate a servant's heart. And out of that, I've been working for the last four decades to identify sons and to speak into them the nature of biblical sonship so that they can arise and become spiritual fathers and mothers in the land to a broken culture that's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Ken, I'll tell you what, we get to take a break here. Okay. But friends, he warned us, we're going to have a meal. Is anybody full yet? I bet. Come on, there's more to come. Friends, don't go away. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to New Every Day. I'm here with my good friend and special guest, Reverend Ken Gill, all the way from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I don't know why I wanted to say it like that, but it just seemed right.
They call it Cowtown.
Cowtown.
Cowtown because of the largest outdoor show on earth called the Calgary Stampede, which happens every July, by the way, and you're welcome to join us. 1.2 million visitors come every year, so why not? Come on up.
1.2.
To 1.4.
Come on now.
Yeah. First full week of July.
And there you go. I think I should do that. I said stay at your place.
Okay, yeah. and they come from all the nations of the world.
Yeah.
To be it. It's really quite a...
So you've been. Is it worth going to?
I've lived in Calgary 29 years and I've not missed one.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Wow, that's a good track record.
Yes,
you're batting 1,000.
I'm committed.
You're
committed to the culture.
You're well, Ken, for the second half, we're going to continue on this subject. And I think we left off somewhere. Well, I know where we left off. You were talking, actually, you ended on that subject of loving people and how we do that and what discipleship, how it's related to sonship, how the subject of servanthood is all a mix in there, and perhaps there's been an emphasis so much on servanthood to the neglect of sonship. Again, not putting words in your mouth, that's kind of what I'm hearing. And now there's a Bible verse that says, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you enough to say, anything, if it's in the Bible, you take it hook, line, and sinker, and praise the Lord. And I want to be that way too, always.
Yeah.
So you're not saying don't be a servant, for sure. What is it? Help me again.
It's basically, maybe we could call it a paradigm shift. Maybe we could call it a new way of seeing. Maybe we call it a new sense of sight. We've seen something for one way for so long that we need God to come and and shine light on something that has maybe been previously hidden. You know, a number of years ago, back in the 90s, when the internet was coming on, I thought, I'll just throw this thing into the browser. And I wrote, is there anybody talking about sonship anywhere?
Right.
So I put it in the browser, and I came up with this, one of the mm-hmm. world's leading evangelists. This is 20-some-odd years ago.
Yeah.
When the internet came on the scene, and I put it in there, and if I mentioned his name, everybody would know him, but a phenomenal evangelist of the known world, still living today. Mm-hmm. And I put the spirit of sonship in, and he had on his page, up came his name, I thought, I'll see what he has to say. And he said this, how is it that we have missed the central message of the gospel? The central message of the gospel, the spirit of sonship. So I went, whoa, this guy is taking this to another dimension after speaking to millions of people in the world as an evangelist. And he's saying, how is it that we have missed this? Because we are to be like the Son of God.
Yeah.
Our objective in life is to replicate him to culture. Mm-hmm. Not what he did, him.
Oh, big
so
difference.
So if we replicate him, then he will order what we do.
A human being, not a human doing.
Exactly, just like that. And it's not a play on words at all.
No, I know.
It's how did he come into the earth? He came as a son.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 33, the Father is speaking in Matthew chapter 6. He said, this is my beloved servant.
Mm, no.
No, no, no.
No.
Sonship first. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased.
Pleased.
Hear him. And so all through Jesus' ministry, he operated and demonstrated biblical servanthood. But it all flowed out of his sonship.
Yes, wow.
So what the Lord was doing for me, because I didn't know what I was doing, sure. He reordered things because I knew how to serve. I grew up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I could outserve anybody.
Sure.
I'm an athlete.
Sure.
I'm a worker. I've got diligence in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does, what servanthood does without sonship, it raises the level of competition in the body of Christ.
Mm.
And if I'm going to compete with anybody in the body, then that drains, right?
Yeah.
But if I want to
hurts
become,
the kingdom too,
hurts
doesn't
kingdom,
it?
Really does.
Mm-hmm.
Envy doesn't look good amongst the child of God,
mm-hmm.
or coveting what somebody else has. But if I see the spirit of Jesus in you,
mm-hmm.
then I want to replicate what's in you. And I say, Lawrence, what is it that I see in you that I don't get? And I'm not watching what you're doing. I'm seeing who you are.
Wow.
And you go, where does that guy get these thoughts? Where does this son come
mm-hmm.
from?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened is we positioned ourselves and we've been adopted into this family.
Mm.
Not as orphans, as sons.
Mm.
He said, Jesus said, I'm going to come to you and I will not leave you as orphans. Though we've been adopted. So I'm adopted into the family of God.
Praise God. Me too.
Yeah. And all the inheritances. Not, servants don't mess with inheritances.
Mm-hmm.
Sons, daughters, male and female, they have the opportunity of walking in his inheritance now. That builds security in the heart of a son. Most servants are insecure.
Yeah.
But walking in his inheritance now as a son, and then walking into our inheritance with him throughout eternity. So when I used to sell stuff, people say to me, you can't lose with the stuff I use. And the thing of it is, it's like Brill Cream way back a few years ago. But the bottom line is...
Excuse me, just a minute. What was that, a hair product? But I did have hair at one point. So
but
I'm
the thing about it is this, is sonship, Lawrence, sonship is a New Testament carry-on.
Okay, so you're telling me it's in the Bible.
Exactly, because Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2,
yeah.
to his spiritual son, whom he calls, to my dear son in the faith.
So, okay, yeah.
So he moves out of team competition language into family language.
So here's what I'm saying, and there's many people watching. I'm here listening going, I've read this many times.
Right.
Not like, oh, a thousand times I get it. No. I've searched scriptures and seen it, and yet now there's an illumination of something that
yeah.
perhaps the evangelist friend was saying, how did we miss it? Is that yeah. what you're doing?
Exactly.
Highlighting for us now?
Yeah, and so thing of it is this, is Paul writing, he says, you then, my son. And he wasn't, for those of you in Canada, he wasn't from Newfoundland. That's just a little side
That's
note.
That's not an East Coast thing, okay.
You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So here's the spirit.
I'm going to receive this even right now as you're saying it. Yeah.
Well, here's the spiritual father, right?
Yeah.
What did Paul write to the church at Corinth? You have 10,000 instructors or guardians, but not many fathers. What's culture looking for?
Oh.
In the brokenness of the home, in the brokenness of relationship, looking for fathers that are after the heart of God, and mothers.
Yeah.
And that parental influence that's not broken through divorce and all the other things that catastrophically divide the family. Then we as men and women of God in the church are trying to repair what's going on in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul writes this. He says, "You, Timothy, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men." What's he saying? "Who will also be able to qualify to teach others." So what does he give us? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses, gives to us a pattern of discipleship for any church, in any place, in any nation, in any culture, in any tribe, in any tongue. There's a pattern for growing people, and it starts with the fathers being fathers and the sons being sons. Then he says, "Hey, Timothy, replicate that. You now pass that on to the next day." And then they pass it on to them, and you pass it on to the next generation. And we've got a four-generational discipleship strategy right here in God's Word.
Praise the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2,
the first four verses.
First four verses. Is this what some of the passage of scriptures that God opened your eyes to
Absolutely.
Back in 73?
He did. The other thing was in Philippians chapter 2, and he says about Timothy, he says, this is one. You and I have been senior pastors for years.
Yes.
We've had people work with us. How about this statement? Paul writing the church at Philippi, that young church, he said, "Timothy, I have no one else like him."
Wow.
"I have no one else like him. This heart has desired to be a good son so I could become a good father." And so I look back at my relationship with my senior leaders and say, was I a good son to Bill? Was I a good son to Charles?
Mm-hmm.
Was I a good son to Ralph? And I hope that the Holy Spirit says yes, so that as I lead as a spiritual father, I can anticipate sons walking with me in that spirit of sonship where I honor them and they honor me. And guess what we produce? A culture of honor, of which the church and the kingdom is to be built in.
Okay, Ken.
But don't get excited about it.
Okay.
Don't get excited about it.
You heard the man. Don't get excited anyway. Ken, our time is gone. We've got about 30 to 40 seconds.
Yes.
You and I, we have identified that there's many people listening who are fatherless.
Yes.
And if not, we relate to those who, we're in a culture that's fatherless. In about 20 to 30 seconds, I know you can do this. Can you speak to someone? If they're fatherless, who can they reach to?
Well, I saw this so often, I knew I had to do something. So I bought a 7-story hotel for the homeless. And we've been graduating orphans, becoming sons for the last 15 years in the city of Calgary. And it was my honest privilege to raise up people that were broken and help them to become more productive in society.
Yeah.
So it's got to translate into practice.
Yeah, you did something about it.
Yeah.
I honor you for many reasons, that being one of them, my brother. Friends, we're out of time, but I don't think it's going to be the last time you see our good friend Ken Gill. I hope you call him your good friend. He's a good man. If you have any questions, any comments that you'd like to give to us, please go ahead and write in, comment online any way you want. We'd be happy to hear from you. We'd be happy to address your questions or whatever it is. God richly bless you. We'll see you again real soon.
Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV, Channel 33, television for the high desert.